For the name under heaven given by men where we might be saved, but the name of Jesus. For at the name of Jesus, there's coming a day when every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that you are Lord. Lord, as we continue our worship today, oh, how our hearts have been charged by the last number that says it's written in red. That's done for each of us here today. And we can only say hallelujah, praise the Lord. So as the word is proclaimed, have your will and your way. In Jesus' name, amen. The title of our message for this afternoon, Here Comes the Dreamer. Here comes the dreamer. I know you know that this weekend is a very special weekend in which they honor the legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. So I will have some remarks to say in reference to that. Behold, here comes the dreamer. For God may speak in one way or in another, yet man does not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon men, when slumbering on their beds, then he opens the ears of men and seals their instruction, in order to turn man from his deeds and conceal pride from man. He keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Job 33, verses 14 through 18. Here comes the dreamer. We are prone to judge success by the index of our salaries or the size of our automobiles rather than by the quality of our service and relationship to mankind. That was said by Dr. Martin Luther King in his most famous message, A Knock at Midnight. I invite you to turn with me to a dreamer as found in Genesis, the 37th chapter. Very familiar story, so familiar and so well read for our scripture today that I'm not going to go through it as if I was exegeting the passage. You know the story of Joseph, a 17-year-old teenager, just a boy among his brothers, a young person with an innocence, with a sense of right and wrong, willing to tell on his older brothers. That's not good. They hated him because of it. Joseph, we see in chapter 37 of Genesis, coming toward his brother. You see, Joseph has had a series of dreams, and he had the audacity to share those dreams. And so, as he is about looking for his brother, the greeting should have been, peace be unto you. But that's not how they wanted to greet Joseph. But instead, it shows a sad picture of the internal feud that's going on within a family. Chaplain Troyer, welcome to our house. Where are you at? There you go. He outranks me. I have to recognize him. Chaplain Troyer, welcome. But we want to acknowledge that Joseph was a dreamer. And with such a greeting, his brothers said to themselves, here comes the dreamer. They said that in a negative sense. But little did they know that they were true. And they said themselves, we'll see. We'll have him taken prisoner, thrown into a pit, and we'll see what will become of that dream. You know what's interesting about this dream? It was not a dream about revelation of truth. That's what makes this such an interesting story. It was a dream about himself. There were dreams saying that he was going to be a big person. And in fact, it will come to pass that his brothers would have to bow down before him. Can you understand why they hated that dream? They hated that dream, but he was a dreamer just the same. And even the scripture says, they said, "You mean you're going to reign over us? You're going to be in charge of us?" A 17-year-old, imagine one of the 17-year-olds in this church coming to you and telling you about their future. And it almost sounding as if they're bragging. But I want to let you know something, young people. First of all, I want you to be true to your dream. What did I say, everybody? Be true to your dream. It might even cause hatred and envy, but be true to your dream. Sometimes when you're telling about yourselves and some of the things you would like to accomplish, it seems like it's putting fuel on the fire, but I want to let you know, be true to your dreams. Everybody has that? Not only that, do you know that God is into dreams? That's right. God is into dreams. That's why you can be true to your dreams. Do you know the Bible? Someone else counted this. They said there are 122 dreams mentioned in the Bible, 4 trances, and 101 visions. Over 200 references to visions and dreams. The Bible is into, God is into dreams. You can't read through the book of Genesis without encountering from Genesis chapter 12 to Genesis chapter 49 is just full of dreams. You know the story of Ezekiel. In Ezekiel chapter 1, he was dreaming. He had a vision about the throne of God. Everybody knows the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel is full of dreams. Isaiah saw angels worshiping God, crying, "Holy, holy, holy." Visions, dreams. Peter, Acts chapter 10, 9 through 22, about dreams. The book of Revelation, the whole book, a dream. Numbers 12 and verse 6, "If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, will make myself known to him in a vision, and I will speak to him in a," what, everybody? I know you know it, a dream. Here comes the dreamer. Genesis 20, you can find it. Verses 3 through 7, Genesis 28, 12 through 15, Genesis 31, 10, Genesis 31, 24, Genesis 37, 5 through 9, Deuteronomy 13, 1 through 5, Judges 7. I just wanted to show you that God is into, do you get it now? God is into dreams. Not only for those who are young and those who are young at heart, you should be true to your dream because God is into dreams. Do you know that dreams matter today in 2007? Do you know that dreams matter in 2007? In fact, I'm here standing in front of you in your church 2007 because I am a product of somebody else's dream. You see, in 1960, there was a group of about 2,000 marchers that were gathering outside a church in Selma, Alabama, the Brown Chapel AME Church. And they were about to march to Montgomery. And there was a young dreamer that was leading them, Martin Luther King Jr. And this is the prayer that he prayed before he led the 2,000 marchers. I'm going to read it to you. "We have no alternative but to keep moving with determination. We've gone too far now to turn back. We can't afford to stop because Alabama and our nation has a date with destiny." Boy, was he ever right. And I'm a product of that. I'm standing here because he was willing to dream and dream big. So be true to your dreams because God is into dreams and dreams matter even today. Somebody ought to say amen. over the past decade or so, there have been attempts to minimize the contributions of Dr. King. There have been attempts, there are websites devoted to finding his mistakes and faults. And surprisingly, as I looked up, some of them are Christians. They call themselves Christians. And they probably were the same Christians that were sitting in their segregated churches and in their segregated schools criticizing Dr. King. How is that for hypocrisy? He had a dream. I'm glad that he had that dream. You see, for those that are young and those that are young at heart, be true to your dreams. God is in the dreams, and they matter today. And you know what I found when I read about the story of Joseph? Joseph had the audacity to tell people. And that led me to this point, that we are to inspire people with our dreams. It's okay to tell it. It's okay to tell people about your dreams. He would tell it everywhere, even in prison. He was willing to tell about his dreams. You know why? Because he was being true to his dreams, and God is into dreams. Amen. Dreams matter. And you need to inspire people with your dreams. I'm glad that a year or so ago, when people are finding fault in Dr. Martin Luther King, the Seventh-day Adventist Church put Dr. King on the cover of its Liberty magazine. I applaud the church for that. I applaud the church. It was right. It did the right thing. Liberty magazine. I'll talk about Liberty next week, Betsy. Did the right thing. Do you know that we are a church, the Seventh-day Adventist church? We were born out of dreams. That's right. And that made sense to put Dr. King on your cover, because your church was born out of dreams. Ellen White. That's right. Thousands of dreams. Visions and dreams. And I don't know where our church would be without her. So don't be afraid to embrace a dreamer. Be true to your dreams. God is in the dreams. Inspire people with your dreams. It's okay to tell it. But you know, Dr. King's dreams were steeped in the American dream, and I'm grateful for that. And that's all right. But that's not enough. That's not enough. You see, at the end of your dreams, for it to really matter, ought to be Jesus. And one of the greatest dreams in all of the scriptures to me, I don't have to ask you to turn there because you know it by heart. Daniel chapter 2. Is there a greater dream than God comes to the leader of Babylon? Nebuchadnezzar dreamed a dream. And he dreamed the dream of a great image. Remember that? The image was made up of what? What was the head, everybody? Oh, I know that. And the next one was what? Silver. And the arms and belly of brass. And the legs of iron. And the feet of iron and clay. You know that. But I'm glad that it doesn't stop there. Because there's a stone, the Bible says. You can read it in Daniel chapter 2, cut out of the mountains without hands. And if you have the King James Version, it said smote the image. It hit the image and broke it into pieces. Remember? And then that stone grew, became the whole earth. know that that stone is none other than Jesus Christ. Amen? And so at the end of every dream that matters, there's Jesus. You see, I have a dream. I have a dream of no more mortgage payments. Hallelujah. I have a dream of no more funerals. I have a dream of no more sickness. How do you like that? I have a dream of no more trouble. I have a dream of no more separation from my loved ones. How do you like that dream? I have a dream, and this only Jesus can deliver, of no sin. Oh, hallelujah. Only Jesus can fulfill that dream, and I have it. And I have a dream that I'm going to meet my Savior face to face. Most of you, if this weekend, if they play that I have a dream speech, and they do, there's that I did some reading on that I didn't know. Maybe you know this. I'll share it with those that don't know it. That great speech when he stood, Dr. Martin Luther King, before 250,000 at the Lincoln Memorial, and he preached that great I have a dream speech. You know, he got he had a script. He had a written script, and he was reading off of that. But he got to the end of his script. He was about to end, and Mahalia Jackson was near the stage. And she shouted out to Dr. King, "Tell them about the dream." Then he went extemporaneously with no notes, went into the famous part that we know about I have a dream. Off of his head. I'm amazed by that, that he did that. He spent the next 5 minutes speaking from his soul. Speaking from his heart. You know the famous "So Let Freedom Ring" from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. And I won't go into that. That was so well done last year that I won't do it. I won't even try to do that. But I want to let you know that I have that dream. There is an organization called the Dream Factory. Made up of volunteers, doctors and nurses and social workers and corporate executives and professional organizations, just individuals who just donate. What they do is they give grants, and they try to make the wish of children or dreams come true. It was founded in 1980 by a man from Hopkinsville, Kentucky, who was wanted just to provide a trip to Disney World for a young girl who was dying with leukemia. And so he had someone going with them, and they did that. And from that, they started fulfilling dreams. And since then, Dream Factory has fulfilled thousands of dreams for children who have debilitating injuries and sickness. They take children on shopping sprees. They just fulfill dreams. I want to read a letter that was sent back to the Dream Factory and let you hear what they do. And this family, this lady writes back. She says, "I just wanted to write you a letter and tell you thank you. My nephew, Dakota Maris, was the little boy that you took to the Royals game July 12th, talking about the Kansas City Royals. Help him, Lord. The little boy... Royals weren't doing too good in the last few years. That's why I said that. The little boy, but he had the time of his life. I think," she says, "the work that you and Dream Factory are doing should automatically reserve you a spot in heaven. Some people don't realize," she says, "the seriousness of juvenile diabetes. This little boy had quite a rough time last year. So for everyone to take time and let him be a part of such a special night means so much to our family. I asked Dakota what was the best part of Friday, and he told me everything. I just wanted to let you know in Missouri. There's a young boy who's not stopped smiling yet. Oh, how I long the dream will be fulfilled when we get to heaven. When you find me there, you're going to see me with a big smile on my face. And it can't be wiped off. Because God is going to fulfill the dream that we have. Do you have that dream? Do you really have that dream? Or has it died? Be true to your dream. Amen? Don't let it go. You know, God's into dreams. God is into dreams. Don't let it go. I may not get there with you, Dr. King says, but I'll get there. May we rededicate ourselves to the dream that really matters. That we'll be with Him in the kingdom of God one day. I know I recommitted myself last week, but I'm recommitting myself for the dream. For the dream. I have the dream inside of me. How about you? Would you stand with me? I'm going to pray and have the benediction, and then we're going to have a number of parting blessings by His voice. I want to let them know how much they bless my soul today. I'm sorry I got a cold where I can't preach like I want to preach, but I think you got the message. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated.